item 10 down to the bottom.
Right. I'll switch 10 and 11.
10 and 11. So we'll bring 10 down.
Mr. Keeney made me aware that without a...
And we need to do that prior to adjourning, is that
right,
correct?
Right.
Well, you're not going to adjourn. You actually can't adjourn. When you get done with the evaluation, you're just going to leave. Because you cannot take up any action unless you return to open session.
Okay.
And there's no item
so
here to return.
When we come back in July, does the first item have to be returned to open session?
No.
Okay.
It cannot take up action for 24 hours.
Oh, just for 24 hours.
It's just think Dan sat through another one of these. Over here.
That's not something I knew.
So
I think I did it wrong last year, then too, but nobody got it. So.
Would someone like to make a motion to approve the agenda with the changes specified?
I'll also move.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Approval of the minutes, item 4.
I move. I make a motion.
We accept them as printed?
As printed.
Second.
All those, oh, I forgot to ask approval of the agenda.
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'll go back to approval. Now the approval of the minutes then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carried. Public comment communication, number 5. I have something.
Okay.
I understand that the 2.0, is it that was all going to change with Iris and so forth, has been placed on the back burner or
placed
going
on the back
away?
Kitty Rhodes has rescinded her concept paper from Joint Finance Committee. And yes, it is on hold for now because they will go back. I think her language said something, they would go back and meet with legislators, stakeholders, and... can't think of a third one, other people, to come up with a new plan. I think that will get approval. I think what would be what she's looking for, because this was not...
And there were no details on anything.
There was very little detail other than the fact that Joint Finance did not find any savings to the plan, which was what was touted, that, you know, we were going to find more increased efficiencies in the plan. And I think what it stated was there was no savings to the plan. However, there was an increase in potential profits to, I'm thinking, the integrated health providers that might be providing it. So it has been pulled. I think that's, you know, I think that's really in part to a lot of stakeholders attending public hearings, too, and still being vocal about that and talking with legislators even after all those public hearings. ADRCs have done a lot of work with legislators on making them aware of what we do and being in contact with them a lot, too. So I think that's I'm good with that. I think that's a good move. I think they really do need to be talking to stakeholders. I mean, there is a lot of anxiety out there with people on family care and IRS and what was going to happen. So, yeah, at this point where we thought it was going to be pushed off till 2017, I think it's going to be a little later than that, even depending on what they come up with. So I think that's kind of a win for...
Well, I just hear it was very confusing to, like, the ADRC and so forth and so on, and then no information was really coming out,
yeah,
no details. It was kind of like...
Yeah, it didn't... And there wasn't actually her little comment that it was being rescinded. It was very, very short. It was like a paragraph that...
all those papers that we got at our last meeting...
Yes.
If you've got a system that works, why change it? Don't disrupt those 60,000 disabled and elderly. They're going to have to change programs. They're going to have new helpers. They're going to be in a... It's going to be mass confusion. That's all I can see. And the more I read about it, the more I think, oh...
We're kind of back to square one now, so we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if there's more communication with the stakeholders, with participants in particular, about what needs to happen. So I don't know. That's really all I have heard. Bob, have you heard anything else from, like, Gary? He sent it to me, but I had heard it by that point too. So yeah, I mean, it was a really brief little release by Kitty Rhodes that said it was, she's taking it back. But I think it's good news for participants right now. At least they're not going to rush into anything and disrupt everybody only to find out that it's clearly not a good thing. So, not saying it won't happen in the future, because it's still, they're still moving ahead, you know. But
I mean, my only thought is if they think there's going to be less people on it, with the aging population, we may only have more people on it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Any other, the building update?
Building update, we met, the admin committee met last week with Potter Lawson to go over, well, back that up, but we, prior to that, we had a conference call with Potter Lawson Architects to discuss our space needs again and kind of go back through everything that we had put down for building. And then we, the admin committee and the directors that are involved, met with them last week. And the admin committee did approve to move ahead with schematic designs by Potter Lawson. So we are still moving forward on that. What that means to us yet, Bob can speak to that more than I can. We did come down, originally they thought we were in need of about 9,000 square feet of space. That was an old study that was kind of done, and they were kind of reusing that. But when we really went through with Potter Lawson and designed it, we're actually about half that. We got a lot of space here that we use because we have it, you know. But trying to look at what we need and what we have are two different things. And one of the things that I was most happy about after they did it was they kind of compared us to some of the other places that they're done, and we fell in line with those. So I feel like pretty comfortable that we had a pretty, that our design was pretty good in terms of space needs, because we came up.
Are they stating where it would be?
No, because the schematic design doesn't do that yet. So the schematic design is just, again, moving forward with what potential options we could have. Is that correct?
Yeah, schematic design takes all these pieces of the puzzle, like Lori's been talking about, their space and their offices and everything, and puts all those pieces on one sheet of paper so we can see if there's efficiencies or common spaces or whatever. And that's one of the reasons that ADRC is smaller in space requirements, because if you're building with social services and with jail, then you have more common areas that you can use for
sure.
Conference rooms or whatever. There's still, you know, 6 and 8 people conference rooms for each department, but some of the 20 at the training center and stuff like that would be in if it was in the jail.
So
as far as location, no, we haven't come to that point yet.
So they could take the schematic drawing and put it in either place.
Yeah. It could go any place. Or it could be split up. It could be that the jail is built in one location, ADRC and social services built in another. Those decisions on that.
So there was some talk about visiting, and especially for the jail. I mean, obviously, the jail costs a little more money than our office space. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. I learned at the meeting that those cells are like the highest, highest real estate around. So
what does a cell cost?
They didn't even want to say.
Oh. No, but they did say it was the.
I'm going to assume about $500 per square foot.
It was
because of the technology and everything else that you're putting in there.
And that's just the cells, because other spots of the jail don't cost as much as the actual cells.
So we're making the cells 3x3?
Lori, what are your thoughts about location?
Well, we've had this conversation many times. I am probably more just pro-building than I am pro-location. I come back from every meeting going, okay, well, I think we should be over here, we should be over here. Really, if we end up over with Bainbridge's development, There are some advantages there. We would be close to Social Security office, which has some advantages for our participants. If we are here, there are some advantages as well in working with. I often get phone calls from the Sheriff's Department regarding people with dementia. I mean, so there would be some advantages there. Probably the biggest advantage, if we stayed in this area and it came out as what it kind of looked like, is we would have access to some, like a training room if that actually went through and things like that. So there could be some advantages there that we could have a nice setup for public participants coming in and getting more programming through here, where I don't know that we would necessarily have that in the other one. But, you know, either one will work for us, honestly.
Where is the Bainbridge location?
The Bainbridge location is behind McDonald's there. Do you know where McDonald's is?
So what I was getting at was out here you'd have to put sewer system where there. It's probably already there.
Yeah.
It'd be a big money saver there.
Well, the sewer system has to be redone regardless, is my take.
Because it's a jail.
The sewer system for the Orchard Manor facility in 6 years has to, something has to happen.
Oh, I see.
Because of the phosphorus levels.
So either way, it has to come
so
out.
So we've got to probably either spend about $4 million on the system or spend between $1.5 million and $2 million to pump into town.
You know, I was at state meetings, and if the state had their way, this literally came out of Ann Olson's mouth. She's from the Bureau and from Office of Resource Development, which basically oversees the ADRCs. And she'd like us to be like a library, be our own separate building, and that's highly unrealistic in any county that's going to do that. No county is going to just, you know, so I'm like, well, that's nice, but probably, you know, I mean, it could happen that way. But ideally, and in most counties, it's not happening that way. We are being lumped into, ADRCs are being lumped together with either Health and Human Services or other ones. So ultimately, before we would go too far, we will double check in with the state that says, okay, now here's the schematics, here's what we're looking at, are you going to go ahead with this? Because that could play, that could have some influence with it too. You know, they're already, Green County is looking at a campus right now. Prater-Lawson is doing that, and that's housing the ADRC with Health and Human Services and several other programs. Columbia County is currently looking at their ADRC, Health and Human Services, and their admin building being kind of in one campus.
Green Lake County did that 2-3 years ago. They put everything, court system, jail, all the departments are over.
With the exception of Dane County, I think you'll find very few counties that have a completely separate building for their ADRC. Now, Dane County did do it intentionally, and they're kind of in a strip mall that I don't really know how to get to most of the time, just because it's in an area of Madison that I don't know. And that was done intentionally, even though they still kind of fall under Health and Human Services in that area. They did put them intentionally somewhere else.
This building would be dismantled.
If the process has already started, begun on that. Marcia moved her desk the other day, and we had some wall crumble, so we've already started. So.
We can all come out and take a break. Is that what you're saying?
We're working on that slowly but surely.
This building was built in, what, 51? They always called it the 52 building?
Yeah.
So would this have asbestos?
I brought up many times. I'm assured that it's not. We actually have had some, you know, if you look at these little things here, we've had some open, and I actually did have Troy come over and test this year in a couple offices just to double check. And they did not. They were not found to have asbestos at that time. So I did show Ken the crumbling wall.
Does not have tile floors.
Right.
Oh, people
don't think of that, but the tile floors in most of those
buildings and that's exactly
built in the 50s and 60s, that's the biggest asbestos source.
That's what Ken
and some plaster has asbestos.
Oh, yeah. I did tell Ken yesterday when he looked at the crumbling wall over here that I might talk to Troy about lead, but I was a little concerned about the possibility of lead dust. But that comes from my background working with kids. We always had to be concerned about lead. But the other thing happening with the building, yesterday was a full day of security people here. So social services went ahead and bought 3 cameras and had security people here yesterday to install them. We didn't provide any funds for this. But one of them is installed in front of our desk because they tell me it's directed towards the front door. So when you come in, you can smile away. One is at their reception area, and then one is at the second floor outside of the elevator. There is none in the parking lot. And I'm not sure who is watching these cameras. However, I have been told that I could get access to the website and link in, and I will because I want to see exactly where they are positioned in terms of that. So I will talk to Tori about that. But that's not something that was brought on because of anything that we had. My biggest concern for security in terms of the cameras, and I talked to Tori about this yesterday, and I think she and I will develop a procedure, is more so that we need to be notified when law enforcement's called. We did have a situation, was it last month?
Mm-hmm.
Where we had somebody come in and it was very odd and walked partway down our hall before Sarah kind of got him turned around and they walked out. And then we got word that maybe law enforcement had been called and maybe they hadn't by upstairs. And as it turned out, law enforcement did come. So my concerns with security are more that we're notified when law enforcement is being called here, since we are, that camera doesn't do me any good. I need to know if I'm expecting somebody.
Is it being monitored all the time they're open?
I you would have to ask Fred that. I can't speak to that.
It's hopefully on DVR, so it records it.
But it can be played back.
So it's time.
So my concern with security is more that system. We also are working with Tori. We all have, there's a security system here. I guess originally when they got it, you actually had people that were supposed to, put a code in when they came in the door. And after numerous times I think that was set off, they deactivated that part of it. However, there are emergency buttons for staff. We have 4, and social services has 4. And we were having some issues with that system the other day, so we called Integrated Security Solutions to come out. They have come out. We had to get some new batteries. They had to put a new battery in the system. They've reset the system, and so now we will have 4 batteries. So that way, if staff, Angela tends to keep one in her office all the time because she has a lot of, she works with different clients that potentially have some mental health concerns, and they're just...
Are those batteries periodically scheduled to be checked?
Well, that we were are going to do. He told us to go, we asked that question yesterday, and he did recommend that we just replace them every 2 years regardless. So the big ones that they have back there, he said, are good for about 5 years. So he did replace the one, because the one was probably 7 years old. So we will have those in place, and then Tori is actually going to come down today and test those to make sure that they actually would work. So we will have those. We've had those since I've come.
I always think of storms, even though you've tested it, whether or not any of these storms can knock out what you have.
And typically, if it knocks it out, the alarm will go off.
Okay.
Here. And that's what happened the other day. It's happened twice now, but our codes aren't working twice. So that's why. And part of that is if the batteries aren't where they should be, then. So, yeah, my concern more with security is that we're notified anytime law enforcement's called to this building. I think we need a email blast that makes me aware and makes my front desk people aware, because, they're the ones that are going to be facing the person that's walking in. So,
okay.
The camera's just going to show who came in. So that doesn't do
anything. Any further comment?
Anything else on the timeline as far as building updates? So we might go see...
End of July. Schematic designs.
So the time framework is still clicking.
Yeah. Because the gentleman that you mentioned earlier wants to start digging.
if it were going to go his way.
If it goes his way. Uh-huh.
So he could get the frame up and make it work inside this winter so we could occupy it.
Sure. Okay, number six.
I have one more comment,
sure.
Maybe on the security thing. Is there... Has there ever been any thought given to having one of the deputies have an office, have a spot here, whether it be, I don't know what their duties all entail, but if they're doing paperwork or working on a laptop or on a computer system of some type, could they do that here as well as out there?
Yeah, I don't know that that's ever been mentioned. We haven't had a lot of security issues, although there was one that I think before I came, there was one. And then the one that we had last, where they called law enforcement, this man, gentleman, didn't do anything. He didn't really cause us any problems. This is where we run into a little problem. We do this ADRC social services together, and that was a big discussion last week about shared waiting rooms, because... they would like to redo their reception area to have more glass in, and we're specifically mandated as to not have that look about us. ADRCs want to be very warm and welcoming, so it kind of runs into a problem when they share waiting rooms. So, but I don't know the potential. I mean, the deputies come very quickly when they're called, typically. I don't know if they ever sit out here or not. That's...
They'd come faster if you had a complex where the jail was right.
Yeah. The doors for social services right now, nobody can get into the second or the third floor. So they are at our level.
Unless you take the elevator.
Unless you take the elevator, correct.
And that's part of the reason why the camera's where it is. So that it pictures it goes up the elevator.
I would prefer to train staff in some conflict resolution and some, because I think sometimes that happens, and we could diffuse a situation a lot better. Typically, if I'm in the office and voices get loud, regardless of whether they're at our desk or at social services desk, if I'm here, I tend to step out. So, and I don't care, even if I'm overstepping my bounds for their desk, because it's
right.
My staff that I worried about, so I'm going to step out and try to defuse that situation. So, you know, it's something I can talk to Nate about and see if the sheriff is. I know they do position themselves in different places with their laptops. So
you probably have a conceal and carry though.
We have posted. I can't bring weapons in here. So.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. But Mariah has her stapler at the front desk, because that's what we were trained to do, was throw things at, you know. That is actually part of the actor shooter training.
Pretty wicked piece of
equipment. To distract them. What's that?
Pretty wicked piece of equipment.
Exactly.
Loaded.
You know, after what's happened, I mean,
yeah.
It literally, we have,
yeah.
Our
yeah.
staff
yeah.
have all had
yeah.
the active
yeah.
shooter training.
Yeah.
And it's, you run, hide, or fight, and they were very clear that you do. You try to distract them by picking up things on your desk and throwing it at them. So why we kind of laugh about that, that's really kind of what they recommend doing. So, but, you know, I understand some of the issues that they deal with upstairs are very different, and if people are losing benefits and things like that, you know, when people lose their finances, they tend to get very disgruntled. But we need to be able to diffuse those situations too and not escalate them, and I worry about that sometimes.
We know this is happening all too often.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Sometimes
scary.
For no reason.
It's scary. And the thing is when they walk into this building, they don't know who's who. So.
Okay. The number six, advocacy report, ADRC Regional Board meeting. I guess one thing I want to talk about is the fact that it was Wisconsin Cares, Cares Wisconsin.
I know, I say it wrong all the time, too.
And they are two different groups.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Care Wisconsin.
Which is going to be confusing. So this was Cares Wisconsin.
Care. Yeah, I think it's just Care Wisconsin.
Care Wisconsin.
Care Wisconsin.
came in and gave a presentation for us, which I thought was pretty informative, actually. What'd you think?
Well, I got a lot of questions.
Care Wisconsin is the new family care provider that's coming into our area. So there will be two family care providers, Continuous and Care Wisconsin.
And I don't think we're ready for it. I really don't. I think, you know, Care Wisconsin is going to come in and take over long-term care?
No, they're just another provider in the area.
In the area. Well, do you think they're ready for this?
I think they have to be ready because I'm speaking with somebody from there yesterday. I asked him how many people they've had enrolled from our region, and they said 14 already in the first 2 weeks, and they expected 14 in the first 6 weeks.
We only had one at that time when we had our meeting.
So they have, and because I said, well, I had no, you know, I said it's 14 a lot, and she said, yes, it is. So.
Well, the reason.
But it's not been in our company.
The only way I could explain that is because it was confusing. Is the fact that if you have two street grocery stores in the town.
It's just your choice.
It's just your choice.
So now you have a choice. If you are financially and functionally eligible for long-term care benefits, okay, you got to be financially and functionally, not everybody is, then you will have a choice of going on IRIS, which is kind of your own self-directed programming that you can do, or you can go on Continuous, or you can go on Care Wisconsin.
So Care Wisconsin has a piece of self-directed. Is that correct?
They do. So does Continuous, though. So it's...
But doesn't Care Wisconsin, don't they have three suppliers? They're talking about, as you read through, there are three. They can decide if IHS is serving this area and you don't like, you can go to another area.
No, what the ones that they talked about, the integrated health providers, that was part of the Family Care 2.0, and that's kind of on hold right now. So the integrated health providers are not, they're not in the mix yet, because that was part of Family Care 2.0. So right now, Family Care, if you're on Continuous and you have no problems with it, you will stay on Continuous, you will get the same services. The only difference is now people coming into long-term care will have the choice of Continuous or Care Wisconsin. Care Wisconsin, for the most part, provides the same services as Continuous. They will have contracts with home health care agencies to provide those services, just like Continuous does. They will have a contract probably with us for transportation. It's not been... I held it up a little bit because I need some clarification from our court counsel on that. So we haven't signed off on that because there were a couple language items I didn't know if I liked. So it's basically the same thing. So back before we knew, when they met with us, we didn't know that concept paper was going to be rescinded. So some of the things they may have talked about there have now since been rescinded, since the concept paper has
been. And their office is going to be in Dodgeville?
Their office,
correct?
Right. Their main office. Well, their main
office
in this region.
In this region.
But similar to Continuous, they will have staff out in different areas as well.
So will they have some sort of thing that we can't just hop from Care Wisconsin to Continuous back to Care Wisconsin? You know,
no, actually, you can't.
You can.
I mean,
you shop the specials.
I don't think people will see tremendous differences. But I think obviously 14 people have already decided to either accept them or make a switch. We have not had any yet here in Grant County. We had one that was maybe going to, but
it is possible that a caregiver or a group could work for both companies,
right?
Both companies?
They could have a contract with
They could
both.
Have a contract with, yes. Both, yes. With both companies.
But that happens. I mean,
sure.
We contract with Continuous and we will write the contract with Care Wisconsin.
Sure.
So that's not unusual either. In other parts of the state, this is not unusual to have two providers. It's just unusual because since the inception of long-term care, we've only had Continuous. So
confusing.
I can see a lot of questions coming up, though.
Well, our INA are very prepared to answer them for you, so.
Anytime there's a change, I'm sure there's going to be questions.
Yes.
So if we got the people that can answer them.
You know, it really is just choosing between, like Mary Lou said, it's really like, you know, it's your choice of grocery stores or your choice of restaurants. Whichever one you think you're going to like the best is the one you can go to. But you're not tied into that. I mean, if you get there and you think, well, I don't like this one, I'm going back here, you can disenroll and go back. So it is possible at this time. Now, once that Family Care 2.0 gets revised, who knows what will happen.
Okay, anything else on the regional board meeting from either of you?
That was the main part.
Yeah, and I think signs are going up. They've been ordered, is that right?
Oh, for ADRCs? Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's in my report. We had, as I told you before, we were going to have to order a couple of signs because we're not in compliance. So I did minimum signs. We will have one on the building out here, and then one inside. That was the minimum amount that I had to do to be in compliance with the state, because I don't want to do a bunch of signage when we don't know where we're going to be yet. So,
okay.
Once we know where our new building is, then we'll have more signage and appropriate signage.
How about the OAA funding?
All right. So the Older Americans Act did get reauthorized. But at this point, I don't think anything has been done with funding. And literally, Marcia found this for me this morning because I had looked yesterday and didn't find anything. So we are a little bit concerned about some funding. The Medicare State Health Insurance Assistance Program, which is a program under our elder benefits system, could potentially be eliminated. That would be a concern for us. That's probably right now, it's not a lot of our money, but it's some. We get a few thousand dollars from them. What I'm probably more concerned with is the nutrition program. They're asking for like a $14 million increase in nutrition, but it's not likely that they'll get that. They're looking at being flat funding all the OAA programs. So the Appropriations Committee has not taken any action on this yet. They thought they might do so this week. Everything I have looked at says they have not. So, you know, if you talk to your federal legislators, let them know that, you know, we'd like to see some increases, because the flat funding doesn't do much when you know more and more people are coming on. Some of, you know, like you said, the baby, you know, boomers are aging into some of these programs, so it could be an issue for us. The SHIP program does provide some of those benefits, you know, provides Marcia's time in looking at benefits for people and going over Medicaid and helping with that, people with getting on Medicaid and looking at that. So it could be potentially a problem for us.
Any questions on that? Otherwise, the ADRC aging unit integration.
One of the things that was on the agenda last week, and it's something that Harriet Mulkey, who is the bureau chief for our bureau, has been looking at since I came on in 2013, was the integration of ADRCs and aging units. We have always kind of assumed we're integrated because, for all practical purposes, we run aging programs and ADRC out of here. And even though our ADRC is regional and our aging unit isn't, we just always kind of considered us to be fairly integrated. In some of the areas, the ADRC is actually a separate entity from the aging program and in two separate buildings in two separate places. So they've been talking about integrating this for a while. And they had ADPA, which is, I'll never get it right, but it's Aging and Disability Professionals of Wisconsin, form a task force to look at integration and make some recommendations to CARI as to what integration would look like. And so that was presented last week to us. And under those guidelines, we would not be considered integrated. So that was interesting.
After all these years?
Yeah. So in a regional model, if you looked at the minimum criteria for integration would be one name, which would be ADRC, and location in each county. One reception and waiting area that is distinctly separate from means-tested programs such as DHS, social services. One local publicized phone number, which we have. One website, which we also do have. And one unified brand, but we also have our own separate ones. One supervisor at each branch office who oversees both local aging and ADRC budgets. And a single database or ability to go between for purposes of continuity. Our databases are set up right now for only county, each county only having access to their county information. Although in the ADRC side of it, Dana can control some. This is the other thing. The other thing would be one administrative agency, IT system, and employer. Not necessarily the same entity for all, but one. So they're saying one county would have and employ everybody for this region. So obviously there was a lot of discussion on this. There's also some issues with it. Under the new Center for Medicaid Services, there's in their regulations, there's an issue with, there's a conflict of interest policy that says ADRCs cannot necessarily also provide services. Well, we do, and most do. We contract with providers right now. We contract with Continuous to provide meals to people, Meals on Wheels, and transportation. So under that CMS potential rule, that could be a conflict of interest. Now, the state's very aware of it. It's not like they don't know about this. So they're working under that assumption as well. So they're working with that as well, knowing that this would not really fit in with that rule, nor do we fit in with that rule right now. And Carrie said, well, the rule's always been there and people have been doing it. So, but I think it's been made a little clearer in CMS, so something's going to have to be done there before all this integration could ideally take place at any time. I think they're still moving ahead with it.
Is there a timeline?
Carrie spouted a timeline that we all thought was very unrealistic, and she thought it would be nice if this was all completed by the end of 2017. And most of the directors in the room just looked at her and thought, I don't think she works in county government a lot to understand you're gonna pull four counties together in our region. It would be pulling four counties together to work this out and figure out who might be the admin agency and of the consortium and all of that. I found that a little unrealistic to think that would all get done in a year. So, not to mention getting a database, that takes a lot of time. So, we did not see that as something that, and they can't move forward with any of it until they get clarification and or permission from CMS to even do some of this stuff. So it's, I think in some ways it's a good thing for some of those areas that are really separate, have really two separate entities, because it's really difficult for customers to know where to go. Here we don't have that. So while we might not be fully integrated by their standards, nobody comes here and we don't have to say, oh, well, for, you know, Meals on Wheels, you got to go across town over here, because that's what they do and we only do information assistance here. So, in terms of services to customers, I think we're pretty good right now. And I don't know how much of this will get changed. So this was just the recommendations of a task force at this point. It hasn't necessarily been accepted by the department or the bureau. It's just been that recommendation, and it was discussed in length. So, I will keep you informed if that starts to look like it's going to move forward, because that's part of our building issues too, if we regionalize, but at this point, they all still want that local office and what that entails. So.
Okay, any other questions on that?
Just keeps it interesting.
If not, we'll go on to dementia care specialists.
Dementia care specialist funding, I just put it on here so you know. So if you are in contact with your local legislators, that program funding is slated to end in mid-2017. There has been a lot of work by our dementia care specialist in this county, particularly the Platteville area. Platteville was the first city on board to get on board with our dementia-friendly communities, and we'd like to roll that out to other communities. We have trained EMS and the police department and several hair salons and banks and new pharmacies, just numerous businesses in Platteville. We've been working on this dementia-friendly community there. And they've been very, very productive in that area. And we are hoping to take that out. And we've gotten lots of good feedback that it's been really helpful. So we'd like to take that out to other areas of the county. But because of that funding, that potentially could be lost.
I thought when we had those hearings, it was coming out that more counties really needed
it. Is, and the Dementia Care Task Force did recommend that they actually fund a dementia care specialist to cover all areas of the state. And they took that through to the Assembly, and it passed the Assembly, but it did not. It didn't go anywhere in the Senate. The Senate only, of the 10 bills that the Dementia Care Task Force submitted that all went through the Assembly, only three were approved
in the
Senate. It can't come back. And now that kind of leads into my next one, Dementia Care Task Force meeting, because at the end of last week, I got an email from Mary Mesmer, who's our regional director, that said that the Dementia Care Task Force legislators, that group that were at the public hearing, have asked to convene a meeting with us in this region. So that is actually tomorrow, and I've been invited to attend it. So I will be there tomorrow. So my feeling is they've got some legislative issues that they want to
clarify.
Well, I'm thinking they. I don't know if they have to reintroduce them. I'm not absolutely clear on that process. I'm assuming that's what they want. And I know dementia care specialists were at the top of their list, so I will bring back more information from that.
Public hearing is tomorrow?
No.
Special.
The public hearing, I was hoping to have a date on because we've been playing with that. We do a public hearing between Unified and Social Services and us. We usually combine one. And we've been trying to set a date all week, and I literally thought it would be set by today, so I put it on there. We will probably have one the last week in July, but I don't have a date set, so I will let you know when that date is at the next meeting.
Okay.
That's for our aging.
Any other questions on these under the advocacy report? All right, hearing none, we'll go on to number 7.
Transportation grant is one of those that I just stuck on here too, because I'm still trying to get some clarification from DOT. The 5310 grant program, transportation grant, is used to purchase vehicles, and we have applied for the grant in past years through SOC or Hodan Center, because the language said you needed to apply through a nonprofit. However, I question the language because I think that's the way it's always been interpreted, but when I read it, I didn't necessarily interpret it that way, so I wanted to question that with DOT, and they haven't gotten back to me. The other problem that I have with it is we don't know about the other transportation grant. We won't know until this summer. I was hoping maybe we would know on the taxi grant that we wrote because we wanted to replace the taxi before this one. So I guess my recommendation is that you forward this on to the board to maybe look at as possibly applying for, but I really won't know for a while whether it's possible to apply for. Does that make sense? Because if we don't get the other taxi grant, then I'd like to apply for this one if we can work out the timing of it.
So the application would be when?
The application, I think, is due in August. We're supposed to find out mid-summer for the other one.
So you want to come forward in July? Or
probably, yes. In July, I think, would be fine. I'm hoping then I'll know by then, and maybe if we got the other one. I think the other one's a long shot. That's why I don't want to let this one go.
And your July meeting would be the day after county board, so that's why you're asking.
So do we need to make a motion here that we pass this on to the county board?
That you approve the application.
Approve the application.
Someone want to make a motion? We approve the application?
I make a motion.
Do I hear a second?
I'll
second. Any further discussion?
Where does the grant come from?
The grant comes from DOT.
State?
It's, now that you say that, I have to double check because it's federal, I believe. it's federal. Most of it is federal, then some state funds get involved in there, but I'll double check that for you, Dan, because I'm not confident in my saying that.
How much would the grant be for?
The grant would be for whatever the cost of a vehicle would be to replace that taxi. So probably they run a little more than that. I'm thinking probably like 35, because it's got to have the wheelchair ramp and stuff. And they actually, we don't actually kind of determine the price. The state usually contracts that and has a set. They contract with the people, so you kind of get the price that way. There would be a 20% match by the county, but we have that in our trust fund, just like I did with that other grant. So if we get the other grant, it'll be a done deal, and we won't need to apply for this. But if we don't get it, and I think that one was a long shot, but I didn't want to not apply.
Right.
So then we might have to apply for this one. So.
Any further questions on that?
Is that Epstein money been all squared away now?
What's that?
Epstein?
Epstein is done.
Okay.
Never been so happy to, it is done.
Is there a future?
I think there could be, but they've got new management at that level, and so I've literally not been in contact for a while just to kind of let that lie. I want, if we go back to the Epstein for something, I want to be very, very specific in what it is we ask for with very clear, outcomes as to what it's going to do. I mean, if we go back to them, I want it to be, okay, we need this many dollars to maybe keep this meal site open one day a week or 2 days a week or something to that effect, rather than we could use $30,000 to supplement our program. I really was not comfortable with that that grant. I want to make sure that before we do that, and I think we may have to do that given our funding situation, but I kind of wanted some time to pass and be very clear in what I asked for. So,
and I think they've actually come back and are funding the school system because of shortage money for the schools.
I suspect
they put some into the Cassville school
system. I was going to say, I suspect with Cassville's situation that they're going to be funding some other things in Cassville. And that is my thought, is that meal site there is to potentially ask at some point to keep that open or keep that, if we need to. So
any further questions? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say no. Motion carried. Approval of vouchers.
I don't think we've had anything too major, have we, other than probably our auto bill every month, because it seems like we never get by with a month without one of our vehicles breaking down. We've had our taxi vehicle sitting at a repair shop for 3 days now, because with the way it's designed with the ramp, they couldn't put it back together.
How do you decide what, auto repair to use? I noticed there's Brat on there, there's Lesmac. Do you alternate them with different companies? Or?
We try to use local, and it kind of depends on what it is and where the vehicles have come from. The taxi tends to go to Lesmac. We try to spread it out a little
bit.
That's
what I wondered.
Pinks are fairly good with our buses. They're very... they're very good about coming when we need help and need to get it in right away. So we tend to use them for the buses because they've just had experience with them, and they have their own, so they're a little more experienced. Less math, we use the taxi, but we do use Brat sometimes for the specialized when it's out in that area too. There is no, we don't contract with them or anything, but we do try to, it's just good business to keep it local and spread it around.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
we try to do that. Tires, we do get some government rates through POMPS, so we do tend to go through POMPS, and then we can get usually a better deal through them, and then you have to have someone else put it on, but that was typical to what I did with my previous.
I make a motion to approve the last year.
I'll second it.
Jan, did you second that?
Yes, I did.
Financial report. I did look in. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot she's not here. Do you want to? Can I just say all in favor?
Who's vice?
What's that?
Who's vice?
Jan.
Oh, she's bad.
She's bad. Say all in favor. Say aye.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposing. Fine. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Financial report, number 9.
I did check service management from the year before, and we actually were higher the year before. But I have also met with Joyce, and we have some staff allocations that we're going to redo a little differently. So I'm not real worried about that right now, Bob, in terms of how that looks. Hey, Joyce. So I think we'll be okay. We are going to, as I told you in the past, this budget has been kind of a work in progress since I got here, and every year I feel a little more confident in it because every year it's a little bit more of what I know is put into it. So, and I've been working with Nancy pretty closely to get it that way. So I think, you know, we're on track, but our TRIPS program, you know, we're going to have to look at revenue and things like that pretty closely because we're not seeing as much revenue as I'd like to in some of the areas. So,
someone want to make a motion to accept the financial report as?
I'll make the motion to accept the financial report as written.
And a second.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? No. Motion carried. All right, we're going to skip down here to 11, correct?
Yes. Okay. And you passed out Grant County Director's reports. I think we've probably covered most everything.
I have one of those.
I think we've covered a lot of it. Farmers market is up and running, so if you know people, it is based on income eligibility, but if you know some people that could benefit from $25 to use the food stamps, please let them know. They can come here directly, and we're also going out to meal sites.
Do you have a certain number of those? Is that how that
Yeah,
works?
They give us... Right, we only get so many. I did want to say, if you looked at the front desk this morning, you will see that we now have assistive hearing technology. So we got some portable hearing loops, which are much better than the original one we got. They work with people's hearing aids if they have the T-coil, which a lot of people don't, but we're trying to educate people to ask that because it doesn't cost anymore to have them get that T-coil in there. And then you can use it. Staff can actually take that places with them. But we also have two pocket talkers, which somebody can use with just, like even if they don't have a hearing aid, they can just put with a earphone. And we tried them out, and they really do.
Does it just amplify?
It amplifies better. The hearing loops, they amplify, but they also kind of take out the background noise. I don't know how it works, but they do. So they are actually probably a little bit more sophisticated than the pocket talkers. But so we can, you know, we're trying to make sure that we have those at our front desk so if people need them that they're aware. And then we're working with staff to also take those out into homes if we need these.
I had asked the cost of those, remember? I don't remember what they were.
We didn't have to pay for them. They came from the state. So
okay.
I can... Yeah, you asked Danica.
I did. I was just thinking for all of us who go to church. That's, you know.
Yeah, I'll see.
Our church has something in there, and I don't think it works with the darn for people, you know, but they try to set up front, and, I mean, if something like that were available, these pocket ones might sound like something that could be purchased.
I'll double check and see if
I can find
one.
They probably think you don't want to hear.
That's right.
Well, I have to take my earmuffs off.
The other thing is we always have to do a quality improvement project through ADRC. It's called something else, but basically we always have to do some kind of a project. And what they're doing is we're trying to identify areas within each of our regional counties where we don't have that many contacts from. So we are actually going to do a specific mailing out to the zip codes of Bloomington, Patch Grove, and Mount Hope. We chose all three because it's an area that we don't receive that many from. And then we'll have to provide some kind of event out there with memory screens because Mary wanted it attached to the dementia grant as well. So we will be, the mailing I think will go out in July. And then the memory screen event will be in August, and we don't know what that's going to look at like yet. We're just in the works of planning that. But just to let you know. And then we'll see whether that increased our contacts from that area. So that's. And then just, we've been working with Tim Murphy. In the past, veterans kind of had to use their own transportation services, and not all of them were always happy with that. And some of them just contracted with us and didn't get reimbursed by the veterans. But now he's got a new reimbursement program, a reimbursement grant, so we can actually offer veterans transportation, and then his grant will reimburse us for that. So I think we started like the end of March, and he had to be spent out, I think, by, what, the end of May. So we had a very, very brief period, but I think we had like $800 in reimbursement. So we did have some veterans that were providing services too. So we're hoping to see that continue because that would be a really nice collaboration for us. So that's
anything more
it.
On the program reports?
Program reports you're probably going to see some revisions of. I'm doing transportation quarterly, but EBS has a whole new database system. And I'm not sure how that's going to play out for monthly reports. So we may look, in all the information they've given us on this new database system, they haven't given us any information on the reports yet, so I don't know how they're going to come out. So we may have to revise the EBS reports in the future. They may be quarterly, or I don't know at this point. So when I know, you'll know. And we also have a little difficulty with our DBS reports right now because I should tell you, our DBS has been so busy. Angela does such a great job in here and has increased our contacts that we actually have Sherry, who's the Lafayette County DBS, coming over like one day a week to provide services to people too. So, because we are really doing a fantastic job. So.
Anything else?
Lori, does this get shut off for closed session?
Yes, okay. I think yes. Does it?
Yes.
Oh, next meeting I have is July 20th, but let's make sure that Bob and I sync up on that.
Is that right?
Okay.
Next meeting will be July 20th. Now we're going to closed session, and we have to take a vote on that, don't we?
Right. Yeah.
Do you need a? You need a motion.
You need a motion and wait a second.
I'll second.
Whoever the chair picks.
We'll put Shirley in this time. All those in favor say aye.
Roll call.
And we have to have roll call. They have that list.
We're in the list.
She could read it.
She could.
All right. Dan?
Yes.
Dave James. Jan?
Yes.
Mary Lou, yes. Pat?
Yes.
Bob?
Yeah.
Shirley?
Yeah.
Steve?
Yes.
And Vicki?
Yes.
And also?
And Pat mentioned that, yes, that she's also with us.
Does that need to be included in the motion that Joyce is here or no? Okay.
Okay.
We can invite anybody
we want.
The only thing under attendance, you should put that Joyce Rowling attended the
session.
Yes,
we will put it.
Okay.
All right.
He just doesn't want to evaluate.
I thought if you want me to leave it.
So now, as we close, you leave for the beginning, or is she through for the whole thing?